a choice right now, between fear and love. It's just a rock.
Out of the dark night of ignorance and into the shining light of truth.
Expounding reality.
A population of citizens capable of critical thinking.
We don't see things as they are, we see them as we are.
There's a level of reality where everything dissolves into an ocean of energy.
We empower our experience by insisting on our authenticity.
That's very profound.
Very.
Expanding reality.
Welcome to Expanding Reality. I am your host, Brandon Thomas, on this incredibly awesome episode. Leslie Hopkins joins us to talk about clean, pure life, the realities of the sovereignty journey, as well as the false matrix complexities. Guys, this episode is fantastic. Make sure you also sign up to support your favorite show down there in the link to get access to not only all the hangouts, but also the afterthoughts. And in this afterthought for this episode, talk about the realities of getting off grid, some heavy stuff going on with the Gwyn Tower mental power ninjas going on, as well as the Anunnaki and past lives. Guys, we go deep. Absolutely sign up in the link below to not only, again, support your favorite show, but get access to that amazing conversation. Also, check out the bonus book linked down in the show description. All the ways, of course, to find our guest, Leslie, will be down there. This one also from the heart. This one's for Coco. You are the greatest of all time in our hearts. But for now, without any further ado, Leslie Hopkins.
I'm like...
Leslie Hopkins, welcome to this thing that we do here called Expanding Reality. It is so nice to sit down with you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Brandon. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. This is a long time coming. You are, of course, the owner and creator and all things awesome about Clean Pure Life. And that's going to be located down in the show description, guys, as well as her Instagram. And it's located on Amazon as well. So we're going to link all of that good stuff. Again, we don't sell things on the show. I always talk about this, that we are not one that sells things. But what we do do is talk about aligned partnerships and things I love. So if I love things and they're out there for offer, that's what I like to talk about. And that's what we're going to do a little bit of today. We're definitely going to talk about your candles. But you have an amazing piece of land out there. Your husband and you have been doing this sovereign journey, which has been wild. And we're going to talk about all of it, as well as you do animal Reiki and using animals as healers. You have some really great and beautiful goats. And you have this Instagram that's, again, linked down below. All the stuff you guys share openly, and it's beautiful. As well, we're going to go into some really cool stuff with Anunnaki and all things. You have a beautiful opinion about this that we have got to represent here and talk about. We're going to do all of that and more in the afterthought. But for now, Leslie, if you do not mind, tell our audience in your own words a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm just a fellow traveler here. I'm an experiencer of life, just trying to figure this thing out. I feel like I've been shot out the back of the matrix. And now what, right? Now what? So we've all talked about this awakening and now what, but I'm actually a fan of Expanding Reality as well. I want to give you mad props. I started listening to your podcast about a year and a half when we bought the land and we're doing a ton of construction. And, you know, I had been off of TV for, I guess it was 2 years prior to that. And so didn't really let anything in. In terms of any like external media sources, news sources, just anything, I did a complete purge. So your show was one of the first that when I wanted to start getting some more outside stimulation, it was, I actually found you from Human Vibration. Shout out.
Love her.
And realized radio, and I needed more of what she was on. And she had put a list of podcasts that she had been on, and yours was one of them. And the first episode I heard, I was hooked. So I started binging your shit. Anytime I was doing construction, anytime I had to drive anywhere, I was like, yeah, let's go. Let's put on Expanding Reality. And I just want to say, I know you and I have formed a friendship for a little while now here, but I never told you how much I love your intro. So I want you to know that it is impeccable. It's not lost on me. every line that you put in there, every cut, the way that you put it together, like it's beautiful. It's never one that I fast forward through. I'm like, I'm so down for your intro. And yeah, so I'm just honored to be here with you. I never thought a year and a half ago when I was listening to your podcast, you know, sweating my ass off here in Florida, trying to build something that, that I would be sitting here with you today. So I just want to thank you for having me on, and I'm excited for our conversation.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful, beautiful compliment. It's still interesting to hear things like that about oneself, but I'm receiving it openly. Thank you so much. Honestly, it means more than you know. It's still a trip, but it means more than you know.
Yeah.
Well, we are so glad you're here, and I'm so grateful that we have connected. And shout out HV. Absolutely. She actually may be joining us for a little camp out that we're going to have out here Halloween. So October 31st through the 4th, we're going to be throwing tents up in the front yard in the ranch here. We're going to go to a couple of state parks and stuff as well. So if you guys are interested, email expandingrealitypodcast.com. Get those in, you know, when you're interested. Come on, let's do it. Halloween. It's going to be fun. You guys coming out?
Let's do it. Costumes. Yeah, let's see. Yeah. Let's have a costume contest.
Absolutely. Yeah, just write us in, guys, and definitely come out. But she's probably going to come out. She lives right there in Dallas. We talked about it. So shout out HV all around. But thank you so much, honestly, for the sweet, sweet words. You, when we connected, you sent me these incredible candles, and I am just going to brag on how well these things are made, how unique everything is about this, but also just the presentation. When these things come in, you sent us a bunch of these, and they come with these little, this gift pack does. It comes with this lighter that is awesome. Tell me about this lighter, please.
So that's a capsule lighter. It's a survival lighter. It's actually a striker. And then you can refill it. You put lighter fluid in the bottom. And for me, you know, I'm super interested in all things off-grid survival. That's kind of what we're trying to do out here. And I figured, yeah, survival lighter, that's the kind of gift that I want with my candles. So
yeah, but in a super cool bag, and everything's just done so well. And of course they come empty because you can't ship it with fluid in it, but we have one of these on our keyring and absolutely love it. But everything about what you're doing, even down to the like wick cutting and little boards and stuff like this that you offer and that you send out, everything is just done with such care. And it's challenging to find something like that in our world these days, where somebody just hand wraps this stuff and takes such care with how everything's presented and done. And like I said, just, I didn't even know what this thing was. And Mary told me about it, but it snuffs out candles and cuts the wicks or whatever, but just so cool. And everything's just so clean and badass. So just tell me more about this.
Thank you so much for saying that. Yeah. So basically what I wanted to do, whenever I design something, I'm designing it for myself. You know how they say like the best gift that you give somebody is something that you would buy for yourself? So that was kind of the concept around the candles. Like I didn't want anybody to get it and have to want for anything. So with the refill system, I had been an avid candle user for years with my tech business that I owned before. I was always burning a candle in the office. You know, it kind of gave me an escape during, you know, stressful periods of work, working on a lot of high tech things that didn't always work properly. Right. So candles has always been my escape. So when I designed this system, I wanted to do a candle refill because I got sick of all of the glass jars that I would save with good intentions, but then really I'm just creating like a hoarding drawer at my house and they're never going to use for anything. And that seemed kind of senseless for me. It's a beautiful glass jar. So I wanted to create a system that was minimalist, that was a clean burning candle. Because what I also found out is that a lot of candles, when they burn, they're toxic. And then they had that refill system. So then what I included was a wick dipper and trimmer along with a resting tray. So, I mean, you have the wick dipper and trimmer. I'm using it here. You stick it in the wax. It's all dirty. What do you want to do? Set that on your table. So I made sure that I included a tray for them to go on. And then all of our wicks are all cotton cord. We actually use a food grade soy. And so you can burn them without worrying what it's doing to your indoor air quality. There was a caveat after I had sold my businesses and I was kind of on this search for what I wanted to do next. I was going to start doing risk assessment for like large real estate transactions. And with that, I took a mold class, a mold inspection class. And with that, there was an indoor air quality section. And so that's when I actually started using equipment and started testing indoor air quality. And there are certain things, like if somebody has a really, really filthy, dirty room, you can't even test in there because it's going to throw off your test results. Well, same with a burning candle. If they've burned a candle within the house, even within that day, you can't test because it'll throw off your results. So I was like, well, what are these results? What are we testing for? Started doing research, found out that that was putting toxins in the air, not only for myself, for my family, for my pets. And I had been burning these candles for years in a relatively small office, not knowing, right? So that's how Clean Pure Life was created.
It's awesome because it's something we all love. And Mary went around actually right before, you're one of those manifestations, right? You're one of these things where I can point to and say, okay, the universe had my back there. And Mary went around and found out the same information that you did. And I'm not sure if she was looking at your page or something, but she came up with that all of them are horrible. They're endocrine disruptors. That's our big thing now. Everything's an endocrine disruptor, right? And yeah. So we're not touching receipts. People are like, do you want this? And we treat them like the lepers, you know? So we don't touch receipts. It's been an interesting ride with this, but really the candle thing, she swept through the house, took all the candles and threw them out. Now, I love candles. Now, whether they're scented or not, you know, it's still, I like a vibe. You know what I mean? So when then you contacted me and all of a sudden this box of candles showed up and now it's the only ones that we burn, but I thanked you. I called you and thanked you for reintroducing candles into our home. And I was dead serious about this when we first talked, that we were just not using them. And so thank you for letting us use candles again. I appreciate it. Because you do, you offer an alternative.
You're very welcome.
That is just awesome. And I can't talk. I know this doesn't have smell of vision or anything yet, but man, when we can get it, this would go on it. It's phenomenal. And cannot say enough about everything you're doing as far as your packing and everything, but also the quality of your stuff. But he can use this for other things, guys. You know, this tray has been used for other things around our house. So I just want to thank you for that.
We discussed that. Yes. Yeah. Use away, my friend, whatever you want to use it for. Yeah. I think a lot of us that are on this awakening journey, we've all gone through that everything is toxic. Right. And so I went through that big time and I'll get into a little bit of that later. But yeah, once you start finding out that like they're literally trying to kill you and like lacing everything with chemicals, you start wanting to just make it yourself. And then I had gone to the health food store trying to buy some natural candles. They don't have any scent. Like there's why am I burning, you know? So that's why I was like, forget it. I'm just going to make it myself. That's kind of how I've always been. Like, I'll just do it myself and see what happens, you know? And so we were in a transition period. I had done tech for so many years that I wanted to do something creative. I needed a creative outlet. And this was right after COVID had happened, kind of during and after. And we were living in that gorgeous river house. And I just started this business in the kitchen and then went from there.
So cool. So this path that you've been on, how did you find this path? Was it introduced through your parents who grew up saying, hey, the world's bullshit? Or is this something that you had to discover on your own? And what's that awakening process been like for you?
No, like I've definitely discovered pretty much everything on my own. Like I was dropped into a family that has been very hands-off my entire life. I've kind of just been dropped in and just had to figure this thing out. You know, my father, we had some traumatic things growing up. And then my father passed when I was 13. And then my mom, you know, just trying to pick up the pieces after that, having to get a job, you know, we lost pretty much everything we had, filed for bankruptcy, you know, so she had other things to focus on. So she was a very hands-off parent, whether I brought home an A or an F, it didn't matter because she was preoccupied with other things. So I've really navigated my way through life to get to this point. That's not to say that she didn't instill in me a lot of wonderful things, like to be kind. My mom's a very kind, loving person, love of nature, love of animals, You know, I grew up with horses. So once we lost everything, my mom did everything she could to keep the horses. That was something that I started working very young, just so I could help out and make sure that we kept the animals. That's always been something that's grounded me. And my most meaningful relationships in this life experience have been with animals. And so, so really how we got to this point, you know, really where it started, I would say, is 2017 was when I first started waking up. So I was running my business. I did two-way radio communications and integrations with other IT. So safety solutions for public safety, military, like large stadiums, hotels, things of that nature, right? So it's really demanding. It's go, go, go. It's a lot of frequencies, a lot of tech. And we decided to take a vacation. So my husband's mom, she lives in Missouri. They have 9 acres in Holden, Missouri. It's like this little podunk. I don't even know if anybody knows where that is, right? So I had been working literally like 364 days a year leading up to this. And we took a vacation. It was a week away from my business. And we're in the middle of nowhere in this little town. And like, I'm okay with like being out on the land, but this is like, there's nothing. And we were sitting on the back porch and I felt so good and so relaxed that I felt like I had just blazed one up. But like, obviously I didn't because we were at my mother-in-law's house, you know? But that feeling that came over me was just, it was so zen. And I guess that's, you know, what when they say Irie, like, I guess that really was the definition of Irie and bringing me closer to the creator. And so that really prompted it. And I came back from that trip, you know, and I was like, I got to start my exit strategy. So I started packaging up my business, you know, getting it ready to sell. And I ended up selling my business in the end of 2018. And then we packed up everything. We sold the house. We did really well because the market had changed. And Mark and I just took off. They bought all of our belongings, the people that bought our home. So we had nothing. We just had us and the dogs, and the stepkids were grown. So they were already out of the house. And Alyssa was going to San Diego State. And Mark and I just took off. We didn't have a house. We didn't even have a destination. We didn't have a state. We didn't know where we were going. We just knew that we needed to go. And now was the time to do something. And so so we traveled. We were in and out of motels. We were probably the most well-off homeless people you've ever met. But we were legit homeless. You know, that's an interesting thing. It's very freeing to live nomadic like that. So we did 2 tours of Florida. We were in Nashville. We were in all through Tennessee, Eastern Tennessee, and we ended up committing to Florida. And, we knew we wanted a big tract of land. And then, we flipped a couple of homes in between then and now. And, that led us to the 40 acres that we found. And it wasn't just that. There was something else that was pulling me because I kept seeing 44s everywhere. So then the freeway to get here is the 44. The zip code here is 32744. The amount of money that we ended up closing this deal on ended in 44 cents. Like, and not only that, I mean, the clock, every time I look at it, it's 344, 144, 1144, you know, it's everywhere. The cash register, when I went and bought pizza, it was, you know, $24.44, and the tax was $2.44. And I'm like, this is crazy. So we were drawn here to this place, and it's called Lake Helen, and it's in Florida, it's central Florida, and it's right next to Casadega, which happens to be the largest spiritual center in all of the United States. And I was like, so we have one restaurant, we have one pizza place here, but there's 2 crystal stores and there's like 100 mediums, channels, you name it. And somehow I was drawn here, and my land specifically is 40 acres And I feel in this, in the southeast corner of my land, that's where I need to be pulled to doing grid work. So Mark and I, we knew that we wanted land. We came here, there was nothing. We moved into an RV and we started building, and we pretty much built everything ourselves to this point. You know, we got the goats and we got the chickens, and that's really living on the land and rescuing these animals and seeing the food system, the chemicals that are being put into our food, and the tumultuous relationship that we have with our government that we all saw, you know, really was amplified during COVID. All of those things is what we wanted to get away from and return to the original blueprint. So we've been calling this place our Eden since we found it. And that's our intention, is to get it back to the land of Eden. And as much as we can, you know, we're still integrating. Like, I go to the grocery store, right? There's like a transition where I don't know if we'll ever go full to where we're living off the land 100%, but we're trying to get pretty damn close.
Yeah. Yeah. You can. And it is a challenge of balancing everything out. It just sounds like such a fascinating thing that you guys are doing out there. How cool is chickens and goats? How much do you love having animals like that around you all the time?
I've always been an animal lover since, you know, I had horses, but I wasn't really that into birds, and Mark wanted the chickens. I'm vegan, but he still wanted to eat eggs, but he definitely didn't want to eat store-bought eggs, not only because of how those chickens are treated, but because of the vaccines and the hormones and everything that goes into them. And so his thing was to get the chickens. And I tell you what, those chickens are nothing but good vibes. Like, they're so sweet. They're so much fun. They're so entertaining. I was super down recently because of what had happened with Coco. And that was one of my goats that we lost to cancer, you know, but for the audience that doesn't know me, I'm still mourning. And going back there with the chickens, like, they're good vibes. You can't be in a bad mood when there's chickens around. And then, like, my goats, it is a spiritual connection that I can't describe. Like, it's even more than it was with my horse growing up. The goats are majestic animals. Like, they're so spiritually receptive. They're such a give and take. And I just feel so right when I'm out foraging with my goats. Like, I'm a literal modern day goat herder now. And it feeds my soul. I just want to make sure that they're happy and cared for and stimulated. And that's my top priority.
Perfect. Have you guys been breeding out there, or have all the goats you've gotten been adults?
No. So with the sanctuary, I'm anti-breed. I don't want to breed anybody here. I go back and forth, right? Because, okay, well, do they want to have babies? Is it my right to say that they should have babies or not have babies, right? So it's one of those things, but you also don't want like a bunch of unplanned pregnancies. And I try to do things as natural here as I possibly can, which means I let them out. So I let them out to roam on the 40 acres. And I would, if I was going to be having them breeding, I would have to keep the bucks separate from the does. And it would be a little bit different than my end vision of it. Now, what I am pro is keeping the families together. So I will go and find a goat at a dairy, you know, that has been bred repeatedly and had her babies taken from her over and over and over again. And that's what I did with Charlene, Coco's mom. Found one of the older goats that had two little baby girls. They were just a week old, and those baby girls would have suffered the same fate. And they didn't want to sell the mom because she's producing. But you better believe that mom was coming with me. So, you know, I took Charlene and her girls, and that's what I want to do with other animals. Because what people don't know is that a lot of these animals, they will spend their entire lives together. They're super bonded. And for us to think that they don't have those kinds of feelings they don't want the same joys that we do is nothing but speciesism, because we can't talk to them. So they're not telling us what's going on to them and the injustices that they're suffering being trapped in the food system right now.
Yeah, speciesists, go out there and get some goat yoga in. Hang out with some baby goats. Go get some connections. All you got to do is pet them right there between the horns. You know this, Leslie. You just get them right there between the horns. They're your friend forever.
No, and they love that. They love
incredible. I mean, yeah. And so much fun. And I love the way that you have it going. Sort of a Jurassic Park thing. You know, all of them are female, so there's no unauthorized breeding and all of that. It's very interesting. We had a male for a little while because we did the same thing with that you did as far as the goat choice. So do you have Nigerian pygmies or just straight up pygmies?
They're kind of a blend because nobody's purebred, but they're mostly Nigerian dwarfs. We do have one boy that's Gary, but he's withered,
right,
which means he's like neutered, right? Yeah. They call it withered for goats. You know that, but for your audience.
For your audience, yeah. Yeah, they need to know that. We banded ours out here. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, a lot of people do that. That's fine. I wasn't comfortable doing that, so I took him to the vet, you know, and we did it there, and everything was, you know, all very quick and easy, whereas the banding takes a little bit more time, you know. But that way, Gary the goat, he could continue to live with his mom, Tina, because he was a surprise. So,
Yeah.
So when we got Tina, we rescued her and her sister. They were stuck in this really small chicken coop, like chicken run. And that was no way for them to be living. So I took those girls, and Tina just kept getting fatter and fatter and fatter. And so I was like, I told my vet, I'm like, listen, I think she's pregnant. And so we just started feeding her like as if she was pregnant, giving her extra grain, making sure she was comfortable. And turns out she was definitely pregnant. Not only was she pregnant, it was with a Nubian, which, you know, is a huge goat compared to a tiny Nigerian dwarf. So basically, Tina got knocked up by like an NBA player. So we had to do an emergency C-section on her. And now we have Gary the goat. That's like, you'll see him on my Instagram. He was a lap goat. He's been my baby boy, but he's huge. He's huge now. When he stands on his back legs, I kid you not, he's like 7 feet tall.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a couple of Spanish cross Nubians, I think. And they were, you know, that mixture. And Spanish cross, they had like the white speckles in the ears or whatever. And they were awesome. There were two brothers that were left out because the mom had three, took care of one, and left the other two in the field. And so we just collected them up and bottle fed them actually in this room. This room was our goat room before it was that. And the boys, they got huge. And then, yeah, when they would stand up to play together and our, you know, nephew would come out here and challenge them and they would stand on their hind legs and he'd be like, oh shit, they get massive. And those things are massive, but they're very sweet.
Oh, so sweet. He's so cool. He's just, there's on my Insta, there's a video of him and my husband. We're all driving around in the truck together. So like, there's nothing better than pulling up and seeing a goat hanging out the window instead of a dog.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's I mean, we're in Texas here in Florida. That's not as rare here, but yeah, it's definitely different. I love it.
Anything goes here in Florida. That's for
sure. Anything fucking goes. So speaking of anything goes, it sounds like your government's screwing us around just as much as the Texas or the federal or anything else. So you and your husband have been walking this amazing journey, not only together with your relationship and the land and relationships with animals and cultivating that, but also with your sovereignty, with your freedom. And you've been looking forward to actually experiencing that. And one day you two sat down and had a conversation about it and it started. So how's it going?
Right. So it started with the land, with wanting to get the land. We wanted to find a place where we could be free, right? So where is there a place that you can be free? Well, you think that you're free in the United States, but anybody who's been listening to your podcast was introduced to Brandon Joe Williams that gave everybody a pretty nice introduction of what it actually means to be a US citizen. So I had been doing a ton of research and it was mostly on greenbelt laws and farming and agriculture. And that's the path that we chose because that's what we wanted to do, right? We wanted to farm the land, sell some plants. We have just over 20 acres of pond here. Basically, it's like a huge lake, right? So we do aquatics. And that was the path that I was heading on. And then we kept getting jacked with the tax assessors. And so that then prompted me to start going, okay, well, we're not actually free, right? Because you think, oh, you buy this big piece of land, you start growing your own food, you know, you get your own solar power. You're trying to be off the grid as much as possible. But the fact of the matter is that they still have you because they charge you property tax. And basically what that means for somebody who has sold their businesses and doesn't want to work anymore for their fiat money, that if I don't pay them their taxes, they will take my property. So that means that that's not truly free. What that is that's indentured servitude. And that fired me up, went through a whole, you know, emotional cycle with that, with understanding that everything that we had taught, being told that we're free, isn't really true. You know, so then we started on this sovereign path and we did Brandon Joe Williams course, you know, his one stupid fuck course, which I credit him. He gives a ton of good knowledge and he's one of the few that openly says like it's a theory. It's a theory right now because there's no case law around it. It's a theory. So I you know, I applaud him for putting his journey out there. But he's not so much focused on land patents. He does a little bit of the land patent. So I had branched outward and I watched every single video that Christopher Hauser has. There's Ron Gibson. He specializes in land patents. I read his book. We actually talked to him on the phone. I traced the land patent for my land. And then there was one other person. There was a book I read. It was A Manual for Freedom, The Peaceful Southern's Path. And that was by Morgan Joseph Langen. And I read his book. And he more focused on the trust law aspect of it. And then I also learned about the state assemblies. And I attended a state assembly meeting. So this is a year and a half of research, okay? And let me just sum all of that up and give you the cliff notes right now, because I want to save some people some trouble. Not that I would have taken back any of that time, but the fact of the matter is that out of all of those people that I read, anybody who had an address that I could search, I did. So you can go on to anybody, to the county tax assessor's website in anybody's county, and you can search their address and you can look up their tax bill and see if they're paying taxes or not. So what I found is that a lot of these people that were preaching definitively that if you do X, Y, Z, that then you're truly free, right? Because the property tax is the last stronghold that they have on Mark and I. Other than that, we could be completely out of the system. But the, you know, and if it were going to something that I'm not like a tax evader, right? If it were going to something that I cared about and it was actually serving me like a legit membership, have no issues paying for it. But if I don't agree with it, there should be an opt out so I can employ private enterprise where I want to fit those needs that they're not meeting. So I just need to make sure that I put that out there first. And so what I found is that these people, you have to use a ton of discernment in this space because there's a lot of people hopping on here saying, do this, this, and this, get your passport, you know, become a state national, you know, and then there's like sovereign citizen. That's not even a thing. Like sovereign and citizen don't even go together. Like it's you're free, but you're a servant. It doesn't work.
Oxymoronic. Yeah.
Oxymoronic, please. Yes. Thank you. So going through all of it, what I have found and what we're really focused on right now is that there's a reason that religion is separate. So there's separation of church and state. And if you truly want off of the system, out of the matrix, off of the fiat dollar, all of that, that is a religion. How do you define a religion? How do you define a church, right? How do you tell people what they want to believe in? Well, we believe that we want to return to what we think is the original blueprint and what the creator intended us to do here, not this false matrix overlay that we've all found ourselves stuck in because that's what we grew up in, right? Because that cloud was casted so heavily over our generation. You know, you're 2 months older than me, so we're the same, grew up with the same perspectives, the same marketing, the same brands. And basically our culture is defined by the marketing that's being pumped out because that's the inputs that we're receiving all of the time. And so, you know, so what had happened for Mark and I leading up to the sovereign path is that we exited everything else that we could. We went on the heal yourself diet. We got off of all chemicals. For 90 days, we did pure heal yourself diet. The only thing that we didn't do was the enema bags because that was a little invasive for me. But I will say that if I had like stage 4 cancer or something, I would do the enema bag, no problem. I'd be like, Mark, let's get after it, right? but that heal yourself diet. And then addition to that was getting myself off of all media, purging myself from the news. I'd been watching the news nonstop, right? Because that was leading up to the 2020 election. And then we had COVID and everybody was glued. Getting off of all of that, then taking this sovereign journey to find out if there's a true way to cut all those ties, cut all those threads that they had on us. And from all of that to get to where I am now, I'm a completely different person now than I was then. You know, I'm still me, but my thoughts and my ideals on the world are completely different. And to get back to my point with sovereignty, that is true sovereignty, is to be the ruler of your own destiny. There is nobody above you. So when people say, well, because it's in the Constitution, well, who wrote the Constitution and why am I held to the Constitution? That's just another man or woman. They don't have power over me. I don't believe that you should be able to go around and kill other people, but that's natural law. If you kill, you're going to be killed, right? I don't believe that we need to be governed in the way that we're governed at every aspect. I believe that it is almost like a cell of our own making because we're comfortable in the cage. Coming out of the cage, now we're accountable for ourselves. Well, how do I feed myself? How do I get power? Who's going to haul my trash away? What do I do with my shit, right? So the mat, like they jump right back in to the matrix. And I'm telling you, it's not lost on me. There have been times in the RV, and I was telling you, you know, when it's late and I'm done and I've been working out in the Florida heat, I'm disgusting and I just want to come in and take a shower. And I'm like, well, shit, the gray water tank's full. Like, I gotta now put my boots back on, go back outside. There's mosquitoes the size of like hummingbirds here biting me, you know, tearing me up. And I'm like, yeah, plumbing would be really nice right about now. Right. So there's a happy medium in between. But when I talk about the Constitution, it's because that's where this would go. So you don't know that there's a true problem and you don't really know how enslaved you are until you start pushing back. Once you start pushing back, because now we're in litigation. So we have an ongoing lawsuit with our county and we haven't even gone full throttle, like we're sovereigns on them at all, right? We're just still fighting over some ag laws and their ridiculous amounts that they're charging us for our ag building in comparison to our neighbors. It's all because we wouldn't let them on our property, which is 100% within our right to do so, right? So what happens is this case would go to litigation. Well, if you lose, you appeal it. That goes to the circuit courts. You get a judgment from the circuit courts, okay? If you don't like that judgment, you can appeal it. Well, you get to the point where you appeal it with the Florida State Supreme Court, then you would go to the actual Supreme Court, right? Okay, what happens then? they only hear so many cases a year. Otherwise, you're just sitting in a big pile on their desk and you're never going to be heard. So tell me how that's justice. That's not justice at all, because what would happen is the judgment would fall back to the circuit court's ruling, whatever that was. And if it wasn't in your favor, guess what? You're stuck. That does not seem like, I just played out that scenario in my head to me, and I'm like, this does not seem right. So for us as people who were not in it for profit, right? We don't have this farm to make a ton of money. That's not what we're trying to do. All we're trying to do is sustain ourselves and provide a home for our animals, provide a sanctuary for animals. We've been blessed to be given this land. We have this 40 acres, not just with the domesticated animals that we're saving. There's a ton of wild animals. We have sandhill cranes that have two babies that are walking around the property. They're getting ready to start flying lessons. You know, we have deer that are just going by. There's wild turkeys, there's raccoons, there's possums, there's, you know, so we are forming a religious organization around these beliefs. And there is, under the 501c3, which is a nonprofit, it's built into the Constitution, because that's what everybody else is following, right? So we have to find a caveat within there that allows us to live in the way that we want to live. And it's not through a land patent. It's not through calling yourself a sovereign citizen and getting a passport and getting a different license plate and all of those things. It's from actually standing up and saying that I don't believe in this fiat money. I don't believe in the system that we've been enslaved in without knowing for so long. I don't believe in this anymore. And I want to live in a way where I'm not profiting, you know? Profit in itself has never meant to me what it means to other people. Profit is just a resource that then can go into the next project that I want to do, right? So there are different ways to look at it. And that's truly the only way I found. So under the 501c3, there's something called a 508c1a. Within that 508c1a, that's for religious church organizations, that basically states that you have all of the rights that you have as a 501c3, but you don't have to file any paperwork to say that you're a 501c3. So that is the one clause that's in there. And that's why when you hear people talk about trusts and private trusts, it falls under that 508c1a, because that is a bond that they cannot break. That's a contract that they don't have anything to do with. A lot of these other contracts that we're in, somehow we've contracted with the United States and just about every single one of them unknowingly as some random third party that's just hanging out and going, oh, by the way, I want a cut of everything you do. And if you don't, we're going to take your shit by force. And like, that's what it is. And I don't know.
Mafia's way of going about it.
It is. And I just can't sugarcoat it, because that's what I have uncovered. And along the whole way, mind you, I'm an eternal optimist. I'm like, give people the benefit of the doubt throughout. Well, maybe they didn't know, right? How did they not know these tax codes? How did they know? No, they lie, they cheat, and they steal. And that's what's going on. And somebody who's a good-hearted person, who's always been a good little taxpayer, a good little rule follower, right? To find out that like the whole thing's a sham really changes your perspective on it. And it kind of gives me like a big pair that I didn't necessarily have before. That and the fact that my husband is like, you know, ready to throw down for his, like, you know, Mel Gibson style, like, you know, freedom, like he's going full throttle. So that helps me as well. Whereas I'm like, can't we just like meditate all day, and can't everybody just understand what's going on in everybody's heads, and we just have a different world?
It's a mix between you and Mark's. It's a combination of the two. There's a balance point in there somewhere, because too much meditation leads to no action. Too much action leads to an imbalance of grace, and you need a little whimsy and delusional fun here. And you know, this balance is what it's all about. And so it's beautiful that you and your partner have this alchemy going. You're both, you know, archetypes for those examples, which is beautiful, because now it's about combining those forces. And you two seem like such a cool set of kids here. I got to talk to your husband here for a little bit before we started, and I'm grateful. What a cool guy. You guys are just such an awesome couple. And so you have this power, but this resolve, and I know it balances itself out, because he empowers you. You allow him permission just to take a deep breath every now and then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very insightful. I love that you see that in him, and the combination between the two of us.
It's got to happen that way. It's got to happen that way. Married and I's relationship's the same. You know, I'm the kite, she's the string kind of thing, but sometimes she's the kite, I'm the string, and that's great. You know, but it's never the both where it's a sacrifice to anything going on, right? Where if we're both kites, we're both supposed to be kites right now, you know, kind of a thing. But it's a real balance thing. But of course, as well, you both have the same aligned goal. So, you know, working with it in that way is unstoppable, really.
No, I'm so grateful. There's no way that I could be with somebody who's completely asleep that I couldn't even talk to. Like, we don't agree on everything 100%, but the important things we do, you know, and to be on this journey, embarking on things that really nobody else has done, because there's no proof. There's no case law. So we kept searching, and there's all these people out there on the internet, all these courses, and they say that if you do this, this, and this, that you'll be fine. Okay, well then just go onto the tax assessor's website and show me your tax bill that you're not paying and that you're fine. Not a single one of them can do that. So they're not walking the walk. And that's not to discredit everything that they're saying. A lot of the information that they're giving is valid, and I do believe in it. But the thing is that it's not tried and true. It's not happening. And like, who's scared? Like, who wants to go first? Right? We have a lot to lose. So you're putting yourselves out there, and we're calling the bluff. We're calling the bluff on the matrix, and we're just gonna wait and see what happens. And if we can figure this out, then and only then would I feel comfortable coming forward and sharing it with the world. And believe me, if we actually do crack this code, I'm putting my stuff out there for everybody to see. Like, you'll be able to go on to the tax assistor website. You'll see that I'm either there and not paying my bill or not there at all, which is the key, right? And everybody will know about it. And I, not that I disagree with charging for knowledge that you've accumulated, but for me, I wouldn't charge for any of it. You know, that's just something that I feel like the more people know, the closer we're on our pathway to the original blueprint.
Remarkable. Re-fucking remarkable. You know that, right? You just say it like it's nothing and it just flows out of you effortlessly, but it's really remarkable and needs to be heard right now. So thank you. Resolve is incredible. All right, so you and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago, I think, here, darling, and it was just awesome. You and I, you know, we chat every now and then. I absolutely consider you family. So we, you know, have been experiencing some similar challenges, spiritually, physically, emotionally, all of these things in our outward lives that, again, like you just described, are big. You know, they're big ones. And along with those come some really challenging times with this. And I asked you the question, and so I want to ask you it here and see if you still had the same answer, that are you happier now than if you would have just stayed in the matrix, if you would have just kept doing what you were doing, go along to get along kind of a thing, and rode this thing out with a little ignorance, as I will say. But I will ask you again, are you happy that you're awake?
Yeah. So, you know, what's crazy is after we talked, that was maybe, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, that question has been on repeat in my mind ever since. Because like, you caught me off guard with it when you asked me, because we had covered a lot of ground in that conversation. There's just like, we're on such a similar path. It's so nice to talk to you. But yes, I think I am happier now. And here's why, because I wasn't happy before. The fact of the matter is I started peeling away the layers and opening the closed doors because I wasn't happy to begin with. I always knew that it was a facade, right? Like when you go to Vegas and you're walking in the hotel and like you see they have this facade of like a little village or something, but it's just completely fake. That's how I felt growing up. And I don't know if it's because of some of the hard stuff that we went through as a family or what, but I really feel like I had come from another place and it took me a long time to try to calibrate to the vibration of what's going on, because I'm picking up two vibrations. There's not just one. So when we talk, so I come from radio and frequency, right? And when we talk about interference, I've listened on a spectrum analyzer to different interference that we're picking up. And I know you had a really cool white noise thing on recently on your podcast, but that interests me. Right. But when we talk about the frequencies that are coming through and why I had to calibrate, it's because there's two. My whole life, I've been picking up two separate frequencies that are in this realm, that are running this realm. And one of them is not authentic. And so when everybody says, oh, I just felt like something just wasn't right, that's why, because you're picking up two different frequencies. And one of them is the true frequency that you should be receiving. And the other frequency is harmful. And I feel like it's interfering with the primary frequency, which is what we're supposed to be receiving. And so for having known that and knowing that I wasn't happy then, yes, it is a little bit jarring to take the blinders off and see the world for what it is, because now you're adding in a lot more things to analyze, which can feel overwhelming. But my resolve through all of it is that this is an amazing experience that I wouldn't give up for anything. Honestly, when I sit out there and I'm hanging out with my dogs and my goats and my husband, and I'm looking out on the land and I'm enjoying this place, that's what we're here for. And I wouldn't be able to enjoy it as fully as I do had I not gone through what I've gone through in the last 5 or 6 years. So yes, I'm happier now.
It's a beautiful answer. And of course, all of us in hindsight can say this, you know, we can all say, oh, I'm so glad that that thing challenged me in that way and that I was able to grow and learn from it. And never any time that it's been like that have you wished that you wouldn't have because of the growth that occurred. It's, are you happy with the way this place works that you need to fuck around and find out? Are you happy with that?
Man, I don't. I think let me fuck around a little bit longer and see if I can exist the way I want to here. It feels right now, as we've uncovered what we've uncovered, that you can't. There's this feeling of like stickiness that you and I were talking about a few weeks ago. Everything that I'm trying to do moving forward is just harder to do, right? Issues come up, like people don't show up. People say that they're going to do stuff and then stuff falls through, right? Like there's just, I'm not happy with the way that that false matrix overlay is. What I am happy with is all of the people that are realizing that there is a false matrix overlay, but where it's lacking is the then what? Now what? How do we proceed moving forward that we know that this false matrix overlay is here? Because that's how we're going to break out of it.
Do you think that this place can function without it? Because if you, yes, you know, if you really scale it back and you look at it, we wouldn't be the way that we are if there wasn't a dualistic sort of frequency occurring, meaning that one pushes and motivates the other. Like our awesomeness, like lizard turds are that frequency, that second frequency, we'll say this, hates that shit. And it motivates them to want to vengeance and revenge and be worse and dig down and double down, right? And but with us as well, there's sort of a, I say us, because we vibrated the same frequency. We're on that same guitar string. It seems that it's part of this place to have dissonance, just like in music. It's important for the symphony overall. So really, as much as we'd like for it to be a single note, do you think that that's what this realm is for?
No. So I don't think that the false matrix overlay from the lizard turds that's here, I don't think that's what it was meant for at all. I personally think that that's a virus that's infected the system. Because if you look at nature, if I look out at nature, there's duality without a lot of that unnecessary layers that are going on. There's duality as it is. So for somebody like me, who's an animal empath, who looks out and sees the mama owl killing or snatching up the mama duck's little baby duck. And I see that, and to me, that's heartbreaking and that's injustice. But then I walk through the forest and I see her feeding her two babies.
But that,
so that's enough duality for me that I think would fuel this realm. Just the fact that we die, that we experience death, right? I think that's enough duality for me that we don't need all these layers of weird complexity, like very bizarre things that they're putting into our heads in movies and media and all of that. I don't think any of that's necessary for us to grow here.
But it's important for us to survive here, which is interesting, because if you try to go clean, pure everything, then you're really terraforming yourself for doom, for almost a you know, sort of a harder time here, because everything around is so damn toxic. It's almost better to sort of, you know, have 10% of your ability to survive here with toxicity just kind of running around as a means of just survival, right? And some of that comes into way of thinking, way of surviving, way of navigating this realm, because that's the same spark in you that wants you to be sovereign, is the same thing that feels that it's necessary for this place to get cleaner. At the same time, it can't happen overnight, kind of a thing, which is terrifying in a lot of ways, you know.
Yeah.
So you feel that animals dying horrific ways, no matter what the result is, because it's nature, is part of this realm, that it's just, that is part of the duality here, but it kind of stops there and everything else is sort of false matrix or realm made?
I wouldn't say everything else. So humans are more complex than animals, right? So we have a lot of complexities of that we know of, let's just say that we know of, because I can't actually talk to the animals. I can in other ways, but we have so many more layers of complexity of thought to us, right? But I will say that there's a lot of thoughts that have been put into my head that aren't mine, that I don't want in there, that don't serve me in any way, shape, or form. Those are the things that I could do without, and I think that this realm could do without.
I do not disagree.
Yeah. Now, does it? I mean, no, I can't budge on that. I don't think that any of that's necessary for our growth.
I think, okay, and then that's the interesting part, because it did make, like, the opposite shit is why I grew, like, because it was there as an example for me to go, ugh, that sucks, I want to do something else, right? Or, ooh, that doesn't feel right, there's something else offered here. But we forget. So this is the interesting part, too. Is part of the false matrix overlay our inability to remember anything? Is that part of the false matrix, or do you think that that's all lives, that we just come in and forget? Because it sort of seems like if it is a false matrix overlay, then it was here on purpose, or that it's, that somebody's doing something they shouldn't, right? Because the word false makes me think that it's more of the demiurge idea, more of this virus, like you said, you nailed it with that. But is that, and then forgetting, all part of this, or did we come in knowing it's that and to stop it, kind of a thing? Because I've heard about this as well. Like, we're here to stop the matrix and to raise it into 5D and all that stuff. But I wouldn't have known that's why I'm here if the shit that I was opposite to or not in resonant harmony with, so I went the other way of, didn't exist here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I definitely see your point. I think there's a lot of validity to that. I do see your perspective, you know, and so Mark and I talk about this a lot. Like, why don't we remember anything from before we came here? Like, what, like, that's frustrating. It is frustrating. Yeah. And then the other thing that I talk about is, if I could create the perfect realm, what would I take from here and what would I leave, you know? So I think that we're dropped into here not knowing anything, because what better way to learn than to come in with a complete blank slate, right? It seems frustrating. I would love to remember some of my past lives. And in fact, I think I do. But that's a whole nother conversation. but yeah, I think that, so imagine us, right? We're all floating around in heaven on the clouds, right? And it's only good. There's no bad. To me right now, that sounds wonderful, because I've been going through a hard time with the loss of one of my best friends and just some other stuff that can be frustrating when you're trying to progress. But if I was up there, I would probably be thinking it's a little bit boring and I want to go experience some stuff. Well, and it might be a test too, because you got to drop, if I were going to drop somebody in and I wanted to really judge their true essence, I would drop them in without them knowing anything. If I were playing God and that's what I were doing. But it might not be a test like that. It might just be made us in his form in a way that we can all experience this place, right? You and I were all God, the creator, the most high, whatever you want to call it, right? I recently saw a thing on God where God actually relates back to Baal. So now I'm having a hard time saying,
dude, God. It's insane. Yes. It's, and the, like, God in the Bible is actually Satan, all the good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. All the good stuff. But, like, for lack of, like, a better term right now, we'll just say the most high, right? Or the creator. You know, when I think about what I would do if I were that creator being to find out people's true essence, I would drop them in here without knowing anything. So yeah, back to your question. I'm not sure if I answered it.
No, you nailed it. So do you think that this is more of a test, like, that we're, because this can also go in a few different directions because of the memory wipe thing. If you know, because it's when we start talking about that it's a school and that you're here to learn and all that kind of stuff. Well, yeah. I feel, you know, school is kind of built on incremental knowledge, right? Like, you learn this thing, yeah, and then that builds on top and that builds on top, rather than just, here you go, you little shit, whatever. And then we have all this ability to interpret ourselves and sort of self-reflection and all of that, but nobody's given the correct answer, like, no one. And so it's just this mind fuck the whole time. And who knows if we are just supposed to be on a ride, or who knows if we're like gods in training. And to what you said, what would I change, right? If I could create a realm, what would I change? What would I leave without? That's sort of this feeling that I've kind of carried through all of this, especially in the hardest times. I'm like, no, you're here as sort of a hacker of the matrix. You're here to hop in here, figure out what's wrong with it, and then report back. Like, cancer's got to go. The childhood shit's got to go. Like, all this stuff, like, get it at fleas, got to go. Like, all these fucking get it out of here's one star review type things. But then also, is it my job to just then constantly pick out things that are wrong, you know, because I don't want that fucking life. Am I just to walk around and critique everything? And again, with this ideal, and I know we're just talking here, but yeah, again, with this idea that we are here to just sort of do something or be tested, that's what it feels more like. But sometimes it feels like the tester's an asshole, and I don't know what I'm testing for, but I don't think I'm interested in the position anymore. You know what I mean? Kind of a thing.
No,
some days
I hear you.
I'm like, fucking, where's the out switch, you know?
Yeah.
But it does sort of, then I'll ask you the question. Do you think then that we're just sort of some, like, gods in training, basically, that we learn how a realm works? We learn what a physical reality is, what its potentials are, and all of that. And then our job is to then go to a realm from scratch and think we can do better. And maybe, yeah, we just kind of experience each other's, right? So I'm in your realm or you're in my realm, and I apologize for it in advance if that's what's going on and I made this thing. But, like, do you think that that's what's going on here, maybe?
Yeah, I definitely think that's possible. So I've had like a lot of inklings that we are here to learn how to create our own realm, our own planet, right? I also have, like, weird visions that I don't know if they're mine or whose they are, of, like, our origin story and how this place was created from the beginning. And then there's a lot of things that can happen along the way. So take my land, for example, right? And these wild animals that I have here. I, as much as I want to interfere a lot of the times, I don't interfere, because that's wildlife, that's untouched. And who's to say if I come in and interfere that I'm making it better? Intentions are wonderful, right? All good intentions. But what if my going in and doing that then has an adverse reaction for something else? So that's why I think where we're like, well, why would a God let this happen, right? Why would a God let this child die of cancer? Or why would they have taken, you know, my sweet little Coco from me, or, you know, so soon, and all of these horrible things that happen? Well, like, I'm watching these horrible things happen on this land that I feel responsible for as its steward, and I don't do anything. I don't interfere, you know? So like, I have that small example of what's going on my land. And that's how I feel that what's going on with us.
Yeah. Which kind of calls into question the whole, like, if UFOs and, you know, that whole thing is real, you know, where the fuck are they? You know, where's this basketball sized technology that Stephen Greer's been talking about that can power a whole city that he's seen, and no problem. Yeah, they've got it. But where's that shit at? You know what I mean? Just so these interesting things. Yeah.
I haven't personally experienced aliens or seen UFOs or anything of that nature. But I think a lot of us are running different programs. And my program just does not have those kinds of experiences in it. That doesn't mean that those experiences don't happen. Like, I absolutely believe, you know, people who are experiencers, especially that one guy you had on, the hair of the alien that we were talking about before we started.
Peter Curry, shout out, guys. Check that episode
out. Shout out, because he had that hair tested, and it was like some random DNA that, like, they don't see anymore, you know?
Yeah, two different DNAs on the same strand. It's wild.
Like, that is, you can't refute that. You know, so there's people having experiences here. I'm running a different program.
I don't disagree, because I feel the same. I've been standing out there looking at this guy going, where the fuck are they? And they're probably right here the whole time, because, yeah, it's not in my program. I like to talk about it. And this, I have the same reverence and respect for the people who say that they do have the contact, because just because I didn't experience it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. That's silly.
Right.
But I do think it's interesting that so many of us are having such a wide variety of experiences here.
Right. Yeah. And I think there was another part of that question, but I forgot what it was.
All right. Well, I did too. We're just talking. This is how we do it here. But, I mean, we're going to hop into the afterthought here in a second, because we're going to go over some of your, I mean, I've got to hear what you think about the Anunnaki, because that's some wild stuff. And I just cannot wait to hear about that. Also, some of your past lives we are going to dump into, because I was told about one of mine, and I want to ask you about that as well.
Yeah.
So, before we let you run here, though, if you don't mind, you know, Heavy World, you're an inspiration. This whole thing has been so motivating and incredibly empowering. So we know that you're happy, but if you don't mind, just let us know what keeps you moving each day. Your feet continue to hit the ground. You continue to do amazing things with the candles, with the land, with your amazing husband. Amazon, Instagram, and cleanpurelife.com, all linked below so that you guys can go check this out. But what keeps you moving? What gives you hope?
Yeah. So honestly, I look forward every morning to waking up and just going and taking care of the animals, because that's where I find my most peace is with the animals, with the earth, with the land. I feel like we've been given a gift. You know, sometimes it feels like the deck is stacked against us. There's so many hard things that we have to get through. This is a very hard realm. You know, I'm not, like, I know people like to share successes and things like that, but the reality of it is that anybody that has any success has also experienced a huge amount of hardships. You know, I'm no stranger to that. But I think that we only get one chance in this life to be us. You're only going to be Brandon once, right? Even if we have multiple lives, you're never going to be you again. So that's why I just want to, you know, live the shit out of the one life that I have and meet cool people like you, and just cherish the things that truly make me happy and make me feel most at peace.
Beyond grateful for that amazing woman, Leslie Hopkins, coming by and spreading that magic all over the place. Guys, could not recommend her candles more. Just go, like Mary, take a beat out of Mary's drum here and go around your house, gather up all the nonsense you bought anywhere else, throw that shit in the trash, and hit up the links down there and hit up Leslie for her Clean Pure Life candles. Amazing. Also, her Instagram and Amazon are going to be located down there as well for ease. Now, in this afterthought, which you can join us for in the link down there, that supports your favorite show, you get all the after stuff, the hangouts, everything like that. But in this particular one, we talk about getting off-grid, again, more of the mental ninja shit from the Gwen Towers, as well as Anunnaki's and past lives. She's got a phenomenal insight on this, and I absolutely am grateful to share it. So check the link down there, guys. Support your favorite fucking show over here, mate. And let's get it going, right? So wanted to also just take this time to remind everybody this is a heavy fucking realm. Some weird shit's going on in the Matrix, man. A lot of things out there looking for your attention. And the more that you just stay true to your North Star and just keep moving forward for what you would really like to see created here, the more that shit just has no place to go. And it lands nowhere. So maybe we just keep eyes on the prize here. Maybe we just keep moving forward. Maybe we just say no thank you with our attention not going that direction. Maybe we do put attention, though, on being nice to everybody that we come across in spite of all the crazy shit. And we pick up a piece of litter as the world burns. I love the irony. We also perhaps get out of the left-hand lane. These people are just got places to go, and maybe you just want to move a little slower, so you just kind of move over, and that's okay. But above all and anything else, it's maybe, you know, just go out into this beautiful fucking wild realm at the same time and acknowledge that firstly, but just be good to one another. Maybe we should do that. Thank you guys so much for watching, listening, subscribing, sharing, commenting, and all that stuff, guys. It means more than you know, and I'm grateful to have you along this wild fucking journey with me. We'll see you next time.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.